this is Anna Silk from Lost Girl, and you're listening to Epic.
We are back, and we are in the second portion of the show where we're going to be talking about terrible, terrible, awful, embarrassing gaming peripherals. And these might not be completely limited to just the consoles. Remember, there was this whole era of the arcade.
I missed that so much.
And towards the end, they were trying really hard to keep your business with all kinds of crazy new stunts. Mm-hmm. Some of them not so good.
I don't know. Arcading is still very popular in Japan.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, road trip.
And they've got like these really cool ones. Like
they should bring it back here.
They've got like pretty much
like
an arcade.
Flip the table.
They have a flip the table arcade.
Yeah.
Where literally you just there's like a fake table that you have to flip.
Really?
Yes. And then there's the Kamichi. I can't remember what it is. Essentially, it's a thing. It's like a thing that Japanese school children play on each other.
Oh, geez. I know what you're talking about.
Sneak up on you and that you kind of put your hands together and you poke them in the rear end. And there's a game based on that. And yeah. It's like this rear end in the console and you got to poke it.
Wow.
Yeah. It is
okay.
Japan.
Okay. Strange, strange, strange. I remember towards the end of the arcade era, there was holographic games.
Yep.
Where you had these concave dishes and they used to project this hologram into it.
Which looked awesome, but I never got the hang of the one we had.
Yeah. Well, we had one. I forget what it was. It was some kind of Western time travel.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It just didn't work. It seemed like you could mash and turn the buttons and it didn't affect at all what was happening. Because what was happening...
I think that game wanted to be Dragon's Lair. I think it's what it was. Is that with the proper timing and everything else, you could actually do the game. But yeah. Dragon's Lair did it amazingly.
It was live action, though. It was pre-recorded live action on a stereoscopic camera that they put into this little 3D game. And it looked like there was this 3D little guy standing in front of you.
Well, that's part of the problem is that a lot of these peripherals were made and then they decided to make a game that could kind of use them rather than focusing on game design.
Game development and then
they just said, instead of having a good idea for a game, they had a good idea for a peripheral and then tried to make a game that fit the peripheral regardless of if it was actually a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, people will buy this because this is an awesome peripheral.
So that being said, segue, Power Glove.
Oh, Power Glove.
Power Glove.
You are so bad.
Mm-hmm. I've never actually used one.
All right, thanks, Lucas. I've never actually seen one in person.
But I've seen one in person. I've just never used it. But was it the Wizard movie?
That was the Wizard.
That's where they introduced it, I believe.
Basically, the movie itself was made to introduce that and Mario 3.
It was a market. It was a commercial movie.
Yeah. It was made by Nintendo,
It was a good movie either way. Except it gave you kind of a really unrealistic view of what the Power Glove could do.
Like work. it did show the sensors that you had to set up on your TV.
Yeah, that would fall off. Yeah.
Bear in mind, that's the way it was supposed to work. That's what they were going for.
You know the funny thing, though, is the technology that tracks the Power Glove is pretty close to the Wiimote.
No.
Except reverse.
Engineer.
No.
Well, the Wiimote is with two infrared lights and a camera on the Wiimote.
Yep.
And the Power Glove was the infrared on the remote and two sensors on the TV.
No.
Wasn't it?
The Wiimote used sonics, not light.
No, it used light.
It used sonics.
Does not use audio.
Mm-hmm.
How come if you put a candle next to your TV, it stops working?
What, the Power Glove?
No, used the Wiimote.
No, sorry, I meant the Power Glove.
Hey, that makes sense now. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it used the Doppler shift to calculate whether it was going forward or backwards.
Okay. I thought it used infrared to track it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which was the receiving and which was the sender.
No, I thought it was infrared. I thought it was infrared projector on the little LED.
It's actually the same technology that old remote controls for TVs used to work. Yeah. They used to use sonics instead of infrared.
Either way, we should just link up James Rolfe's full review of it as the Angry Video Game Nerd. Again, only watch if you're 18 or older.
NSFW.
Absolutely. There's a couple choice words that he uses, but this is why I love this guy. He doesn't. he pulls no punches.
Now, that being said...
That's right. I went there. I went there.
They're working on a new Power Glove, sort of. A Nintendo peripheral.
I don't want it then.
It is a thing called the Peregrine Gaming Glove. We'll put this up on the game notes, or the game notes, the show notes. This one actually has sensors all through the glove, so it can actually detect when you're bending your fingers and touching things and stuff like that.
Which is
what you kind of wanted and you expected from the Power Glove based on, you know, the movie that you saw it in. But it turned out you couldn't tell if your hand was closed or open or anything like that.
Have you heard of the Myo? M-Y-O. I'm sorry, I'm breaking our format because I'm going to something that's actually pretty awesome. It's this new, I believe it was kickstarted. It's from a place called Thalmic Labs, and I'm going to put it up on the show notes. It's a band you put around your arm around here.
He's miming towards halfway between his elbow and his wrist.
You can't see me at home. So
just hold your elbow up to the mic.
Yep. So it's about 3/4 up your forearm is where you strap this thing on. And it's a sensor that tracks your muscle movements.
Okay.
Similar to the way a prosthetic works.
Yep. And the amount of control you get on this is fantastic. Although they're not really making it for games, they're making it as a computer controller accessory.
Mm. And they've got some other kind of cool things they're doing too with kind of muscly or input from your brain and stuff like that. That being said, that's for the next part of the show. We're talking about really terrible peripherals. That's right.
Actually, yeah, the Myo, I should have held on for the next part.
You should have. Way to go.
Yeah, I totally ruined
you
our format.
You suck at this, dude.
I'm the guy who's supposed to enforce the format, and totally screwed it up. Yeah. I'm sorry. So going back to terrible peripherals, I'm going to mention one that has been rife with controversy, and it started off as Project Natal, but it is now known as the Xbox.
Kinect. I don't know. I thought that was cool. The stuff you can do with that is insane.
It's amazing, but people are really starting to get concerned about privacy.
It watches you. There was a blog or a vlog I was watching on YouTube. They had just moved into this place. They had set the Xbox up with the eye on it, and the Xbox was turned off. One of the two roommates that lived in the house was sitting in the living room. They were having a drink with friends. They were talking, and they realized, they looked up and they saw that the eye on the Xbox thing just sort of moved up a little bit to get in line with the way they were sitting on the floor, mm-hmm. which they were freaked right out about that because the thing wasn't even on, and it sort of looked up at them to get a view.
Well, the first thing is it never turns off.
No, it doesn't.
It's always on. It's always tracking your motion. Now, Microsoft says that's because it has built into it a command structure where you can turn on the Xbox by saying something.
Just in case anyone is listening to this on their stereo in their living room, that type of thing, Xbox on.
Oh, there was a great joke. I forget what it's called. Xbox.
Well, there's a commercial.
No. There's a joke that somebody played. If there's a command that you say, that will say Xbox off or whatever, or menu or something, it'll kick you out of the game and bring up the menu. Well, somebody was playing Call of Duty, and they put that as their name on Call of Duty, and they were just being really terrible to the other players. So they would, in frustration, yell out that person's name. And it would cut them out into the menu.
That is hilarious.
Oh, man.
It just had...
That's horrible and awesome at the same time.
Well, it was just a bunch of clips of... You just hear the audio like, oh, so-and-so, and then, no, wait, no.
And there's actually cursing and swearing,
there's
I'm sure.
a commercial as well that is airing, I think, currently as we're recording this. Well, not exactly currently, but around the same time. It starts off with the guy saying Xbox on in the middle in the commercial, and it's turning people's Xboxes on.
All right, and just because it's an easy target, I'm going to go with almost every single plastic accessory for the Wii.
That bowling ball is awesome.
Yes, we just found this out.
Might as well throw NES in there, too.
There's a bowling ball accessory for the Wii.
We just found that out.
Okay, so it's full size. Your Wiimote goes inside of it, and it straps on your wrist, and it's just for playing Wii bowling, because that's a thing we needed.
It's the Wii bowling ball, the thing that broke your TV.
It does have a wrist strap, supposedly.
So does the Wiimote.
Yeah. Yes, and it works probably easier than this, and it's cheaper because it's included. But yeah. Personally, I don't see the need of, I'm playing table tennis.
So you're asking to have your TV broken.
Yeah, so you put it in a table tennis thing, which is the same size.
There was a clip on YouTube from the Shopping Channel where they were trying to sell those little clip-on accessories that attach to your remote for playing like tennis and stuff. And they did that. They attached the tennis one, and they were playing the tennis game on the shopping channel thing. And as the buddy swung, it came off the end of the remote and smashed into the TV and broke the TV.
That is awesome.
Live on air.
So those, they just friction fit to the end of the Wiimote?
As far as that one,
some of them
yeah.
around.
Yeah.
Boy, that's just not a good design.
Most of them actually clip into place. Mm. So credit where credit's due. They do that at least, usually. But those are the actual Nintendo ones. Like there's third party at left, right, and center.
The wheel and stuff like that. They were really thinking, when they designed the Wiimote, the way the triggers place and everything like that, they were really thinking ahead to selling all these little plastic peripherals.
They absolutely were. That's why I never bought any of them.
Speaking of plastic accessories for a console, why don't we go back to the NES and talk about the plastic accessories for that? There was we mentioned it, some of them in the intro sketch, mm-hmm. the U-Force, which
motion.
Was really bad.
The good old motion tracking, which didn't track any motion.
Right. I have no idea how it worked at the time.
Magic. Mm. But got cracked or old, the magic sort of came out.
Oh.
I think magic was gone when it was new. Apparently, it didn't really work all that well.
Rob the Robot.
He's a classic.
A whole two games.
Yep.
That's all it was for. Two games. And he was so slow, you usually lost.
I never played with that particular accessory.
A cousin of mine in Miramichi, they actually had it. And I played one. It was like, anyways, it's one of the two. So, I could have a chance of being right here. Anyways, this was years ago, of course. I don't remember much about it. I stopped saying, oh my God, it's a robot. This is so cool. Of course, in hindsight, looking back, I'm like, that was, wow. It didn't really work that well.
No, a lot of stuff you look back on and you think at the time it was really, really cool. But when you look back, you're like, oh my God, look how cheesy and crappy that is.
Well, it's all novelty at the time.
Mm.
It wasn't really, you played the game to see a little robot moving around. You didn't play the game because you thought the game was fun.
No, but that's
game was not particularly
That's kind
fun.
Of another example of, hey, look at this cool accessory we came up with. Let's try to make a game that goes with it.
Mm. Yeah.
And focusing on, just making something that can go with it and get out in the timeline that you specify by the marketing people.
Yeah.
Regardless of if it's a good game or fun game or useful or, useful.
Any last mentions you want to make before we head out to another commercial break in a few minutes?
There's so many bad ones out there. Like you do just do any kind of, basically you just take like 2 seconds and just do a quick Google search. You'll find top 10s and top 20s from everyone and their dog.
There's
so many bad ones. I mean, the bad ones really they really outweigh the good ones.
Yeah.
Mostly because they're done by third party for the most part, at least.
There's a recent one, or recent-ish, that I may get some argument on, but I thought was kind of the stupidest thing ever. It's this special keyboard you can get for your computer that has like a snap-out keys that you can put in like special sets based on the games.
Yep, I remember that one.
And so you have like a World of Warcraft one, and and essentially it just reconfigures.
Actually, I think it was made by SteelSeries.
I think so, but it reconfigures your keyboard to so
big hotkeys and macros. Stuff. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Doesn't Puma have one of these?
He does.
No. Really? Is that one? Does he?
He had one.
I thought it was called the. Oh shoot! What was it called?
Anyways, look.
He had
later.
One, and he used it quite well. He only used one setup on it, but it worked quite well.
It doesn't actually like a lot of times. It doesn't really. It just makes it so that some of your buttons aren't there, and I think it's just. A little overkill for when you like a keyboard works just as well. But you got to keep swapping out these little
There might be particular instances where it's better to have this one particular keyboard. I haven't seen that instance because it's usually when they design a game. First of all, you can remap any of the keys wherever you want.
Exactly.
So you just go ahead. And
you're familiar with the keyboard layout of a regular keyboard. I mean, moving things around just makes it more complicated, in my opinion. I don't like change. Get off my lawn.
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay. So any other last mentions on terrible gaming peripherals? And then we're going to go and we're going to talk about some.
Any of those gaming mats.
Gaming mats or the sensor, the floor sensors or anything
yes,
like that. There's a hexagonal one. I forget what it's called. But.
There was one for fighting that a buddy of mine had, and it had like a ring of sensors around it, and you had to like kick over it and punch over it. It worked terribly, especially.
That was the hexagonal one. I forget what it's called.
Oh, Rich is going
to
explode.
Yes, I am. Something that went from an amazing series to, oh dear God, please end this now. Tony Hawk. So with Tony Hawk's Ride.
The skateboard.
I think their total sales of that were about 3,000 units worldwide. That's how bad it was. Until they went on clearance at all these stores for like $5. Then they sold. and they
still weren't fun.
Oh my god. Again, never played, but I have friends that bought it the day it came out, and the buyer's remorse you saw in their eyes the next day was just unreal.
That's gotta be really hard on your floor.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beveled edge on the bottom.
Yeah,
they said that they couldn't go straight because it would naturally lean.
Yeah.
So they're always turning around in circles or falling off the board.
So
in real life,
to describe this for our listeners, it essentially looks like a skateboard, but with like a rounded edge on the bottom with no wheels. Mm-hmm. So you sort of balance on this back and
sensors on both sides. So if you push off, you actually got to make the pushing off a motion.
Yeah. So it's like a wheelless skateboard.
Yeah.
About as much fun as a wheelless skateboard.
And no, it's not a hoverboard because those looked awesome.
Yeah.
Hoverboards.
Those are awesome.
It kind of looked like a hoverboard.
Mark, you're an engineer. Make those.
Yeah, come on. 2015, buddy. It's coming up.
Yeah, and this is the problem I have with you people. All right.
Yeah, this is the problem. Yeah.
Go engineer stuff.
We're going to go into our second intermission now. Hey, you know what? I just realized I didn't mention who we played on the first intermission. I just came back.
I was wondering who that was.
That is just me ruining the format of our new show. What is with me today?
We'll have to fire you soon. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you can do it.
hey, that means we have to do all the work.
Seeds, about that.
Seeds by Hey Rosetta played on our first intermission. We're going to go on our second one now. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about
the future,
what the future has for gaming peripherals, or the near future.
Anyway. Or we hope at least to.
You're listening to Epic, online and on the air at 97.9 CHSR-FM.
The traveler said that my studies would begin with these people.
Shut up, Wesley!
Yeah, shut up, Wesley. Epic will return after these messages.
I got this old guitar. The strings are rusty, but it's all I need. Bring in the kick drum, it can back the beat. Let's gather round and sing a song. Hey, I got a shaker too. The kind of sound that wants to make you move. Bring in the uke, we'll complete the groove. Let's gather round and sing a song.
Locomotive under the big hot sun. We're changing the game.
The strings are rusty, but it's all I need.